Sparky. Hey, Sparky!
Yeah, man, what's up?
Hey, man, you want to do us, the band, and all these people here a favor and take us on a trip to a magical land?
Yeah, sure, man.
Let's go to Hoogie Boogie.
Hoogie Boogie Land!
Where you gonna go? They didn't hear you in the back!
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. Rich is back from a brief health scare.
Mm-hmm. And it was scary.
Sore throat.
Flu, kind of a mix of a bunch of stuff. I don't even know. I ended up not even going to the hospital yesterday because I started to feel a little bit better, but the voice is slowly but surely back. But over the last 2 days, it was just the will to do nothing. It's one of those ones where I just slept for almost 2 days straight.
Lucky.
And it's awful. No, I hate that.
No, you get
I hate
that there's feeling. No pressure. You get to sleep.
You feel like crap the entire time.
Yeah, it's a catch-22. On one hand, you get to sleep. On the other hand, you know, it sucks. So what is the deal with what's happening tomorrow? Because all I know is I had like 10 things. The schedule right now for me outside of the show is very hectic.
You're right, like nor'easter-wise?
Yes. Oh, so now all of a sudden, everything that I've planned,
right?
Like a lot of this required a great deal of planning and asking for favors from people. And now all of a sudden, like, it's all gone to crap, but I can't get a definitive read on what's supposed to happen.
Apparently, it's supposed to begin lightly snowing tomorrow afternoon. It's supposed to get really bad tomorrow night, like 8, 9, 10 o'clock, and then light snow, you know, 3, 4, 5 a.m. Thursday morning, and then it's supposed to be done by 7 or 8. Thursday.
When you say real bad snow, what do you mean?
We're supposed to get, well, in the heavier bands, Fred, 1 and 2 inches an hour.
Okay, but we're not in a heavier band, correct?
It depends on who you look at. It depends on the rain snow line, Fred. Supposed to get 1 to 3 inches here, 3 to 6 between 128 and 495, and then a foot outside.
How far is 128 from the city?
I can tell you when you get on the highway from here, it's about 7 miles.
So the difference, so there's...
Sorry, it's like 5 miles.
So you're telling me that within 5 miles...
Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
It's going to dump, double the snow?
Well, that's where the rain is, Fred. That's the rain keeps the snowfall total down, I've been told.
Oh, well, that's exciting news. I don't believe that for a second. Maybe 495.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't believe that where you are in Natick is going to get pummeled if the city does not.
That's what they say.
It's weird. I'm
right around 6 inches.
I'm looking at the map, and Wallach's kind of right. It seems like the line for the over 6 inches is kind of close to like Natick.
Yeah.
And then everything.
I'll get nothing because I'm like 2 miles from 95.
You'll get a few inches.
You get a few inches, and then it flips to rain.
So I'm two. So since I'm
within
2 miles.
Yeah, within 128, you're fine.
Okay. So that's good.
For you, yes.
So 128 is like a wall. Like,
correct.
Like in Game of Thrones.
Where the snow cannot pass.
The snow cannot pass. All right.
Yeah. But the wind is going to suck if you're anywhere like near the coast.
Yes.
Like
right.
Once again, more flooding.
So we're positive that, so we're going to get 1 to 3 inches of snow, basically.
That's what everyone is saying as of right now.
Okay.
I've been told they're going to tweak their maps over the next 24 hours.
So why is everything getting canceled? All these activities are getting canceled.
I have no idea. Because, I mean, even the nor'easter here in Boston wasn't that bad. It was over on the Cape, and obviously places where the flooding was. But right here in Boston proper, even last week, it wasn't even that bad. So I don't know why they're canceling all that stuff.
All right. Well, it's very confusing.
I know. How long was Mike's power out?
He got it back yesterday.
2.5 days?
2.5 days.
He lost it Friday afternoon, didn't get it back till Sunday night.
And you're over by Foxborough, right?
Like 2 days ago.
Yeah, so that sucks.
Well, you know, that's what you get now for living in Newton, where the power never goes out. Power never goes out in Newton. They know better.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta keep on that. They just put a picture of Mike's house up on television. It's very nice of them.
It's very nice.
Good.
All okay. right. Well, that was something that came out of nowhere, and it's not good.
Yeah, there's no reason they should be canceling things that are indoors.
Well, I don't
in
know.
Boston.
We'll see. Did you see that this Eric Burnett, he's a former aide of Donald Trump, he's been going around and he's saying that he's not, like, he's going to ignore the Mueller.
Did you watch any of that stuff yesterday?
Yes, because they said they smelled alcohol in his breath.
Okay, so what happened was it's this guy who was a former advisor for Donald Trump, and he ended up getting subpoenaed all of these different texts and emails that he had with pretty much everyone on his campaign. And he just yesterday went nuts. He went on MSNBC. He went on Fox. He went on CNN and just said, I'm not going to do any of this stuff. And they're like, well, you're probably going to go to jail. He goes, I'm not going to jail. And they're like, no, you will go to jail if you don't do this. And at one point, I should pull the clip because a woman from CNN, he called into Fox and he called into one of the other stations, MSNBC, but he was on CNN. And this reporter was sitting across from him and she goes, all right, I have to address this because this is something that has been brought up in the past about, you know, your alcohol abuse and maybe some drug abuse as well. But as I'm sitting here across from you, I smell alcohol in your breath.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I haven't been drinking. He goes, have you had anything to drink today? He goes, no, I haven't had anything to drink today. I'm just on a lot of antidepressants right now. He goes, yeah, so I've taken a bunch of pills, but I haven't done any drinking today. And they're like, and he's like, and he's saying all this crazy stuff. Like, it's like, yeah, you know, Hope Hicks, yeah, I don't even like her anyway. I mean, she was having an affair with Corey Lewandowski anyway. You're like, whoa, my God, what is going on here? Like, literally just went on. And he's either, I mean, it seems like he might have been drunk. He could have been hopped up on some pills. But he's just saying, like, all these people were colluding, and he's going nuts. He's like, I'm not getting arrested. There's no way I'm getting arrested. They're not going to come get me. And they're like, yeah. And like, there's, you can see the faces of the anchors going, you're going to get arrested. If you don't comply, this is the law. You're going, would you do it if you were me? Yeah, I would do it if I were you. Yeah, I'm not getting arrested. And then I guess after it was all done, he went out to dinner with his father or something, and his dad was apparently saying, you're going to get arrested. He's like, okay, maybe I'll turn over the stuff. I mean, he went for two days, too. I heard somebody compare it to, it would be as if O.J. Simpson was escaping in the Bronco and pulled over on the side of the road to do a press conference. Like, he's just, he's a guy who's, like, in massive trouble and just said, you know what, I'm burning down everything, and just started doing all of these interviews, apparently under the influence. But, I mean, the fact that the person with CNN just said, I smell liquor on your breath right now. And he's like, no, there's no liquor.
He goes, I think Trump might have done something during the election, but I don't know that for sure.
Oh, yeah. And then he just starts, like, throwing everyone else that says that one of the guys absolutely colluded, that they knew about these Russian meetings, and I mean, it's just like, burn it all down. And the whole time he's...
So he went insane, basically, because why else would he agree to all these interviews?
Because he just freaked out. I think he freaked out because he knew that in these emails, there was some incriminating things that would get him in trouble. So he's like, I'm innocent. I'm not in it. I'm completely innocent. I'm not guilty. And just wanted to talk to anybody who would listen to him. And maybe got so freaked out that he might have started drinking or taking pills. But
I mean, you could be pretty drunk, but not book an interview with CNN where he started.
Dude, he did everybody yesterday. Like, all of the...
But he did it on Sunday. The first one was CNN. Oh, no, he went Washington Post, and I think he went CNN on Sunday.
So Washington Post was the first one he spoke to, and that was on Sunday. And from that, he started doing all of these, and all of them were yesterday. All the TV interviews
CNN. Okay, so I was...
Within a matter of hours. Okay. Like, he just did the circuit.
He just went to New York and did all the...
Oh, I mean, it was... It was bat crap crazy, the stuff he was throwing out there, too. He called Sarah Sanders Huckabee. He hates her because she's a shut her fat mouth.
Yeah. I mean,
he went crazy. I got to pull the clip, though, of him sitting there. I mean, it's, what was that character that Lovitz did? Was it like the liar guy?
The pathological guy? Yeah. It's a ticket.
I
mean,
when she just goes, I have to say this. I smell liquor on your breath right now. No, absolutely no liquor. There's no liquor. I don't drink anything. Did you have anything to drink today? No. Just, I've taken a bunch of pills, but not really any liquor.
It would have been better if he just would have been like, I'm drunk.
Yeah.
I just.
I heard the best thing that was thrown out there yesterday is, you know what he's doing? He's laying the groundwork to plead insanity.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's like the guy went nuts yesterday, absolutely broke down on TV and just said, I'm having a meltdown. I'm going to call every possible news agency and talk to them and say crazy crap. Oh, man. But the best is the faces that the anchors gave when he's like, I'm not going to jail. You think I'm going to jail? And they're like, yeah. He's like, no, I'm not.
All right, so I didn't hear that he went out to dinner with his dad, and his dad was like, okay, you're going to go to jail.
That's the new news. So after he went nuts, I guess his father like called him and said, we got to talk. Because his lawyer, apparently, after all that stuff happened, dropped him. Said, I can't defend you now. You went in there and just went crazy. So his dad called him, and they went out to dinner. And the new news is now, after he basically flipped the middle finger, I think yesterday at 3 o'clock was the deadline for him to turn all this stuff in. So he's already, you know, he could get arrested today.
Yeah.
So his father just said, dude, you are going to jail if you don't cooperate. And so his new thing is, all right, I'm going to cooperate. Maybe he finally came down off of whatever he was hopped up on. But my God, that was insane. If you ever wanted to see an absolute meltdown of somebody televised for all to see between the hours of about 3 p.m. and 7 o'clock last night, it was all over the news.
Yeah, it was great. It was really something. Yeah,
maybe we just pull his greatest hits. Because, I mean,
there's a million of them, and they're laid out in all these stories. I mean, CNN has an article about like the 25 craziest things that he said during it.
Yeah.
And they're all crazy.
They're all nuts. But that CNN, when that anchor just said, you're sitting across from me and I smell alcohol in your breath, and he just started flipping out, is some of the craziest TV I've seen in a long time.
That's right up on Yahoo.
Talking about the game is no game.
Danny Ainge, what does it feel like the day you see your baseball card and the word bust is put next to it?
Toucher and Rich.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last season?
Well, Kyrie Irving didn't play last night, and apparently neither did the Bulls.
Tatum moves to Shane Larkin, thinking about it. Shot clock down to 6. Cunning Jaylen Brown catches free throw line, dives in, scoring off the window, and the foul. And the Celtics are playing at an entirely different level.
By the third quarter, I can only imagine that Cedric Maxwell just wandered off mid-call to get another piece of cake in the hospitality room. One of those games, just as lopsided of an ass-kicking as we've seen all year. Celtics beat the Bulls 105-89. At one point, they led by as much as 37. So, with Kyrie out with the sore left knee, or the, hey, it's okay to take a night off against Chicago flu, it was a bit of a shocker that Shane Larkin got the start over Marcus Smart or Terry Rozier. It's a move that Stevens probably more than likely did, not to mess with that flow of his bench, who have been really good as of late. Larkin was 3 for 3, all from 3 for 9 points, but this thing was over early.
Shane Larkin, bounce pass to Jason Tatum, left side. Tatum lobs an entry for Horford. Horford bumping with Larkin, drop step, spins on him, back to his right, flips it up and in. Oh, I love this Al Horford.
Well, you love Al Horford in this matchup. My goodness.
Well, in the first period, the Celtics scored 19 straight points in less than 4 minutes time. In less than 8 minutes into the game, the score was 26-5. And after a disappointing turn Saturday night that launched a million hot takes, Al Horford finally bounced back. 13 points and a good defensive performance.
Tripping down the right side, Marcus Smart gobbles him up. Of course, a bad pass picked off by Horford. He beats Markin and down the floor and slams with two hands. This is a brutal first quarter beatdown right now.
You take what you can get because the Celtics.
26-5.
Well, nice for the team to get back on track. Here is Al Horford afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, coach, you know, the emphasis was really trying to get me the ball, try to
try to get it going, and the guys got me the ball, and you know, I was able to get some good looks early.
Well, that was something Brad Stevens did on purpose. He knew that getting Al Horford back to his old ways is imperative, and he was impressed by the results.
I was just told 10,000 career points, quite an accomplishment, obviously, for a guy who scoring doesn't matter to, and I think that says it all. I mean, he's going to have his nights where he scores the ball. He's going to have nights where he doesn't get as many looks because of the way they're guarding him, and he doesn't care. You know, he'll just do whatever it takes to win.
It was a hell of a slump he was going through.
Right, but I mean, even, listen, I understand there's, people can shake their head and look down on the novices that aren't getting the intricacies of the game. But again, if you look at his stat line, I mean, this is, they've fed him the ball. I mean, he had 2 assists and 13 points.
Early. They fed him the ball. He didn't play a lot, Fred.
Okay.
It was such a blowout that they're just like, all right, well
I mean, okay.
How many minutes did he play?
Played 22.
It was like a plus 26 or something last night?
Plus 31, but everyone pretty much was.
Yeah. I mean, that was an absolute ass-kicking. Listen, Al Horford.
Because you don't think so, John. You think that he's overrated.
This yesterday. My point was, yes, he's overpaid. He's overpaid. Okay, but he's good at a lot of things.
Let me just say this to Rich. Mm-hmm. John's busting my balls because he thinks he's overrated too.
He's overpaid. I did not say overrated. I said overpaid. There's a difference.
Okay. Well, it's not his fault that he's overpaid.
I say correct. Which was my point yesterday.
Well, I mean, the team's better with him. There's a lot of people who like rip on Al Horford. The team is up. No one can argue he's a very valuable
part of this team.
Oh, yeah, he's a max guy. I would hope that they're better with him, but I still don't get it. I mean, he played well enough yesterday to be praised.
No. To say that he has gotten a little bit out of the slump. The slump has been bad.
The slump has been really bad. Five games out of the All-Star break were really bad.
No, I know.
So,
yes. We discussed it yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, it's not been good since they've been back, and it was specifically what Brad Stevens wanted to do, and a perfect team to do it against. Yeah. It was like, just get his confidence back, feed him the ball, just make something happen, and, you know, he ended up getting back to essentially what has been his season average. So the one thing about him that is, I mean, listen, you guys have discussed this, I'm sure, ad nauseum yesterday, but I mean, when you are a 50% shooter and you're what, like 45% from three, that takes a lot of people away from the lane and you clears it up.
Yeah, he does a little bit of everything. I mean, he does everything well. He's not great. He's not going to take over down the stretch. That's Kyrie Irving's job. But he is and on defense too, a very valuable member of this team. They are worse without him.
I would hope, and again, I would hope so. Yeah, I mean, that should go without saying. It's not the world's highest compliment, but fair enough.
It's significant, and it's obvious. When he is not in there for long periods of time, the defense and the offense suffer.
And it, as they should. Absolutely.
That was my only point. Everyone is telling me he's no good. He's vastly overrated. And I'm telling you, you cannot overrate his importance to this team.
No one says that he's no good. The thing, but people might say that he's overrated.
Listening to the afternoon show, you would think he should be playing in the D League or the G League.
That G League is going to come back and bite everyone in the ass, by the way.
What, the sponsorship?
What Silver has going.
Oh, with the high schoolers? Yeah, sure.
That's a good idea.
Well, by the way, did you guys talk yesterday about the video that came out of Gordon Hayward that he put on the Players Tribune?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, with Brad Stevens saying he's not coming back, and then why are you releasing these videos?
It helps the Players Tribune. It doesn't necessarily help. It gets clicks on the Players Tribune. They don't care what it means to the Celtics. And Brad Stevens, as I said this to Fred.
Well, Gordon Hayward would not release that if he didn't feel he was coming back this year.
He probably feels that he's coming back this year, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, and if he feels like he's coming back, this is obviously a guy that talks with the Celtics every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is under the impression that he is coming back this year.
If you're Brad Stevens and you've been answering the same question pretty much for four months straight.
You say exactly what Brad Stevens says.
Yes, to get everyone off your case.
Yes. No, everyone's handled this the way that I thought it was going to go down.
Except for Gordon Hayward.
No, including Gordon Hayward coming back.
No, but I'm sure that Stevens isn't thrilled when he releases a bunch of videos of himself shooting.
Well, of course. I mean, what's Stevens going to say now? He said emphatically the other day he's not coming back.
I understand that, but he just knows that every time Gordon Hayward, like, you know,
It just makes him have to answer that question.
Yeah, he has to. Like, what are you going to answer? Yeah. I mean, if Gordon Hayward puts a picture of himself shooting, I mean, what are you not going to ask Brad Stevens about it? I mean, you got to at that point.
So the Celtics, they've now won 5 of the last 6 since the All-Star break, and not to get all Adam Jones on the people, but those 5 wins have come against teams with losing records.
Yeah, things get a lot tougher real quick.
Yeah, you got quite the gauntlet coming up. You've got 3 pretty damn good teams in a row starting Thursday night when they take on the Timberwolves, followed by the Pacers on Sunday and the Wizards on Wednesday. And
you got New Orleans, Oklahoma City, and Portland in a row right after that.
Yeah, so that's no joke. But it's now getting to be about the time where you can look at the standings and start figuring out where things are going to shake out. And, man, is it really important for them to just get that one seed. I mean, with Toronto right there and Cleveland sitting there in third, you do not want to play Cleveland in the second round. Unless Indiana, I mean, you take a look at Indiana and Washington, and if Cleveland takes their foot off the brake a little bit, there is a chance that Indiana could leapfrog Cleveland pretty soon now.
I don't think that's going to happen. Cleveland's motivated. I don't think they're nearly as good as they looked against the Celtics coming out of the All-Star
break. No, of course not.
They're motivated now because everyone's counted them out. Now, I don't know if they could... I don't think they could chase down the Celtics. It's a 7-game difference here, but they're certainly the 3. They're not going to fall behind by any more than that.
I don't know, man. You've got Indiana, who's only a 0.5 game behind them, and you got Washington, who's 1.5 games behind them.
Well, I just think now that Cleveland has kind of woken up and LeBron is motivated, and if you've been watching him play over the last couple of weeks, he's certainly motivated now. I think that they are certainly the 3 in this. And so you're right. It is important for the Celtics to avoid Cleveland in the second round of the playoffs because that'll be a war. So I would rather be the 1 than the 2. Yeah.
Of course you'd rather be the 1 than the 2. That's right. You'd rather be the 1 than the 2.
Let it be written, let it be done.
It's just like, earth shattering. Just dropped the mic.
It's like
complete silence. I'm like, oh,
you
good.
You just took
I
your
just
staff.
Reinvented the wheel,
none
baby.
Shall pass with this take.
Yeah, that's right. Silenced you guys, didn't it?
Well, I was just looking at the Globe's online sports page, and it hasn't changed since 7 o'clock yesterday, except for one story about the game last night. I wanted to see if there was an update on McAvoy. It's the exact same page.
Well, we have his recent update as you can get.
We have the cottage industry doctors weighing in as well.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
So we've got
yeah.
all that.
Yeah, I saw
we'll
that.
We'll do that after the break.
All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
Well, as the Bruins get ready for tonight's game at the Garden against the Red Wings, yesterday was Team Picture Day and maybe inadvertently gave us a little insight into the health of some of the injured players, Charlie McAvoy being the biggest mystery right now. And unlike his teammates, including Patrice Bergeron, who's dealing with his fractured right foot, Charlie wasn't wearing skates, but instead a pair of beach sandals, suggesting that the leg injury he suffered on Saturday could be serious. Also on his left knee was a brace, so no matter the injury, Bruce Cassidy did announce that McAvoy is going to be out for tonight's game.
I have nothing new to report. He's getting evaluated this afternoon. Will not play tomorrow, and then we'll go from there.
You saw the video of him hitting his knee against the boards from the Montreal game. Did
I
you
did.
Not?
I saw yep. the doctor's breakdown of it mm-hmm. From a distance.
Right.
Yeah. What are the doctors saying there, John that Wallach?
It's an MCL.
Sprain, yes.
And if it's a light one, it could be 1 to 2 weeks, and if it's a medium one, it could be 4 to 6 weeks, I believe is what the doctor said.
That's exactly what the
story
is.
So if it's an MCL sprain, he should be back for the playoffs.
Okay.
And so he would be back for the playoffs, and then, so the from what we've heard, and we have Billy Jaffe on at 9 o'clock today, is kind of the modus operandi going on now with the Bruins is that they're going to make sure people are healthy for the playoffs, that they've been fortunate enough to play as well as they've had, so they're in no rush to get anyone back. And from what I've read, they're not overly concerned with having home ice against Toronto. So and they're going to be a top 3 team in that division. So they have a luxury of getting everyone healthy as possible. I'm interested in what's going on with Tuukka Rask.
Sure.
And maybe if that's just more of the same. They said it was a very minor injury, but this is the second game in a row he's not playing. Hudobin obviously played very well on Saturday. But, you know, that's 2.5 days to rest after that game. So we'll see. I like the cautious approach. I don't like in hockey that you don't have to give any kind of information whatsoever. I have absolutely no idea how that's possible. Maybe it's because no one gambles on it, and so there's no pressing need to know how long people are going to be out. But, you know, and that's going to be frustrating, too, because if they don't play McAvoy and it gets to be like 3 weeks, you're going to get no more information, so you don't know if it was the playoffs if he could play. You understand what I'm saying? You know, because like Bergeron right now, if it was the playoffs, would be playing.
Sure.
I mean, he would play with that small fracture in his foot. I mean, he would.
He played, well, I mean, he played, what, a game and a half with it?
Yeah, he played a game and a half with it. So he would play with that in the playoffs. I mean, the guy played with a broken rib and a puncture in his lung. So, you know, some injuries can be played through. I'd rather have them be completely healthy. But we'll never know with McAvoy, which is exceptionally frustrating. Because obviously he's a piece that they really, really need. It changes everything, and it shows you why they got depth, why they got all that depth, as much as we made fun of it, and I still don't know, except for Holden, who any of these guys are. You know,
Tommy Wingles, you've never heard of him before?
No, amazingly, I cannot sit here and look at you.
Played against the Bruins last year in the playoffs, Tommy Wingles.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people did. It's a lot of people were on that team, that Ottawa team. I can't tell you really everyone that was on it. That's why I don't play fantasy hockey like you. It's because after the second round, I'm at a loss.
I understand.
I have no idea who is available after the second round.
So is it Nick Holden time again, or what are they putting? Carlo?
Carlo's on the top line.
And Holden's playing on the third line with McQuaid.
Okay.
I believe. I think it's, it's Carlo, Chara, Krug, Miller. And then it's McQuaid and Holden.
Yep.
And Holden is a bit of a puck-moving defenseman, so it's good that they got him. But there's no one on that first pairing now that can move the puck. And maybe Carlo will get his confidence back now that he's back with Chara.
Well, that's what Haggerty seemed to think yesterday, Rich, when we asked him that. Carlo hasn't been playing well because he hasn't had Chara to cover up for him. Now that he has Chara to cover up for him, he'll play exceptionally well. Well, not exceptionally well, but much better.
Sure.
But there's no one to move the puck.
Yes.
In that first pairing.
It's going to take an act of Congress to get it out of their own end at this point.
Yeah. Basically, if you're not on the top two lines, you're not scoring. you're basically trapped. So, yeah.
You're trapped.
You're just trapped.
It's a trap.
You're just trapped. You're trapped in neutral ice. You're never getting the puck out of there. Short of a miracle.
Did you guys play Claude Julien complaining about Rick Nash?
Oh, no, we got to do that today. We are going to do that.
Okay, because I didn't know if you talked about it or not, but we should pull that audio. No, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, Claude Julien has had a fit. He just had a fit, and he doesn't like the way Bruins play hockey, which is odd because they've beaten him four times this year. And all of a sudden, he's got a big way. I like Claude's idea that he does things the right way.
Yeah.
Then why are you going to be fired at the end of the season?
He's got a lot of years left. He just signed an extension, man.
Signed an extension?
Oh, yeah. They hired him. Oh, yeah.
Wait, okay. But they can still fire him.
Oh, they can. They're just going to owe him a lot of money.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I like that Claude has taken that Montreal team and run him into the ground that he's got a problem with the Bruins.
See, I mean, Claude obviously is out of line, but he was right what he said about Rick Nash. I mean, that was embellished.
Sure was.
Fine, but good. It worked. You embellished.
You scored one goal.
And we used to say, and when Claude was coach of the Bruins, and he was against embellishment, we used to say on the air, if you win, what the hell do you care? Captain, like, John Wayne?
Here it is right here. Here's Claude. This is from after the Montreal game.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. Your best shooter is on a breakaway, and he doesn't get a shot away. I think everybody agrees it should have been a penalty shot. And what's embarrassing is Nash embellishing. It didn't, you know, the stick hits his shoulder, doesn't even hit his face, and he embellishes, looks at the referee. Those are embarrassing things in our game of hockey.
Do them. I'm sorry that it's embarrassing. You know, it might be, you know what's embarrassing is destroying a franchise and having your old franchise thrive when you've left.
That's right. You know what's embarrassing? Having one of the worst three offenses at the National Hockey
League.
And
you know what else is embarrassing?
Good for you.
Realizing that you had all this young talent that you never would have played and you would have been trapped. They would not make the playoffs this year if Claude Julien was coach. That's a fact. They would not make the playoffs.
Well, if you look at the success of the young guys,
he would not. He would never have played McAvoy. He might play McAvoy, but he wouldn't have played him last year.
Right?
He'd bury Carlo. You do none of these things.
Oh, can you imagine if Carlo went through what he's going through this year and Claude was still the head coach?
Oh, yeah, he'd be in Providence.
Oh, my God.
He'd be in Providence. Heinen never would have gotten this
Grizzly
opportunity.
Grizzly never would have gotten a shot.
No.
None of these guys. That's true.
But, you know, it's embarrassing because Claude's doing it the right way.
That's right. Do you think DeBrusque would be a winger on the second line?
Nope.
If Claude was the head coach here?
No. You know what he would have done at the trade deadline is trade away all this young talent for, you know, some 38-year-old journeyman. Claude Julien doing it the right way. What? That's embarrassing. You lose. You've been swept by your old team. You're most likely going to get fired at the end of the season. And the big thing is because they're not. It's embarrassing the way the Bruins are playing hockey, winning hockey. And by the way, when Claude was here, I had the same complaint with him about that stuff. We're not going to embellish. Well, then why? It helps. Like, it's something that helps. It helps win. What do you get to stand there and they're going to go, well, you know, Claude, your team sucks, but hey, you didn't embellish this year. You know, you didn't take an advantage. A coach, a player should take every advantage available to them.
So you're pro Marcus Smart?
I mean, you got to be touched, at least. At least Nash, Claude said that Nash was touched in the shoulder.
Did you see Marcus Smart last night by any chance when he got knocked down and he did that ninja move
to get
back up?
Yeah.
That was amazing. Like, it was like for a boring game, that might have been the highlight.
No, that was the highlight of the game where he flipped himself up.
Yeah,
which
is
his back.
Down, yeah.
Just does one of these,
like a back spring,
flips.
Just right up. Yeah. By the way, Julien last year signed a 5-year, $25 million contract.
I didn't say he's going to the poorhouse, but he's.
What I'm saying is the Canadians have a really tough decision ahead of them.
Yeah, they can afford it, believe me. And in that market, you can't hang around with that guy.
Especially if you get swept by the Bruins.
Yep.
That's a killer in that market.
Yep. All right. We will return.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Jim, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I just was listening to you talking about Claude. And if I remember correctly, didn't Montreal sign him to a 5-year extension last year?
There was
an article that was written that when Cassidy came in, he basically took all the defensive zone breakouts and said they were archaic.
Yes.
And changed it because, both Claude and Chiarelli were dinosaurs. And it's never been more evident than to see the youth and what they've done over the last year and a half. So I just wanted to hear what you guys' thoughts on that, because, I mean, I was up in Toronto last week, 4 days, during the trade deadline, and even they're starting to make fun of Claude up there, because they can't believe the disarray that Montreal is in, obviously loving every minute of it in Toronto. And then talk about a total different aspect. I know you guys do a good job covering the NHL, but up there, it was nothing but complete, total NHL trade deadline coverage from 7 in the morning until 12 o'clock.
Well, it's a holiday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can listen to them in July and they're talking about it the whole time. But Julien, I'll tell you this, is that Julien and Chiarelli were into paying fourth liners, second line money, even though in today's NHL, because the cap never goes up, you need to play young kids and you need to get league minimum contracts. You need to pay guys like young players. And by the way, Edmonton, with all the talent Chiarelli inherited, is not sniffing the playoffs.
Yeah, they have two guys that are good. McDavid, who I think won the Hart Trophy last year, and this guy Draisaitl, and then nothing.
Yep.
That's it.
And, you know, that was supposed to, he had a lot to work with when he got there. He could have improved that team, but he chose not to.
By the way, Milan Lucic, 66 games. Anyone want to guess how many goals he has this year?
I've talked about it with a friend on Sunday. Four?
No, it's a little more than that.
What, 12? I'll say 12.
10.
Okay.
10 goals in 66 games for Milan Lucic, who Peter Chiarelli could not get up to Edmonton fast enough.
The theory on him is that, as far as I'm concerned, is that he's just like, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
It's just...
He's just checked out.
Well, yeah, like the constant beating, that style of play. I mean, he's stuck up there in Edmonton. Who the hell wants to do that? So, might as well take the foot off the gas a little bit. All right, we have this. We have a ton of stuff coming up. All right, what do we got here?
Well, I don't know if you read about this. Last night, there was a bunch of details that came out about this new lawsuit that Adrienne Lawrence, who is an ex-ESPN employee, she ended up... This was in December. Do you remember when Boston Globe came out with that report on like sexual discrimination and harassment at ESPN? And
yeah.
They mentioned this, and there was all these accusations against John Buchagross that he had sexually harassed her and that ESPN had retaliated against her when she complained. And that's when that Globe article came out, and ESPN, of course, had to put a bunch of statements out saying that we've done investigating and there's no merits to what she says. Well, she filed a complaint with the Connecticut Commission on Human Rights Opportunities last summer, and now she's got a lawsuit against ESPN. And if you go through the lawsuit, there was some interesting stuff in there where they said that this one had to do with Jemele Hill and Chris Berman. It said in 2016, ESPN's The Undefeated personality Jemele Hill received a threatening and racially disparaging voicemail from Chris Berman on her ESPN phone line. Lawrence claims Hill notified ESPN executives who oversaw their show, but ultimately nothing was done. Lawrence claimed that Berman has been involved in multiple incidents involving the mistreatment of women, but remains a celebrated and welcome ESPN employee. Well, since then, Jemele Hill has actually released a statement saying, this woman crazy. She said, a few years ago, I had a personal conflict with Chris Berman, but the way this conflict has been characterized is dangerously inaccurate. Chris never left any racially disparaging remarks in my voicemail, and our conflict was handled swiftly and with the utmost professionalism. I felt as if my concerns were taken seriously by ESPN and addressed in a way that made me feel like a valued employee. Frankly, I'm more disappointed that someone I considered to be a friend at one point would misrepresent and relay a private conversation without my knowledge, in which I simply attempted to be a sounding board for personal gain.
All right, so if it wasn't a sexual incident and it was not anything that was racially tinged, there seems to be a lot of the HR department at ESPN seems to be have their hands full. I mean, there seems to be. I mean, what was if so? I would like to know what the altercation was between Chris Berman and Jemele Hill. If it was rectified almost immediately, if it was not racially tinged, it was not a sexual harassment claim. I would like to know what it is and how it got to like ESPN HR. That would be interesting to me.
Yeah, that part is interesting. But
I mean, just, you know, I've never worked at a company where there was like a ton of, and listen, if you're getting sexually harassed, by all means, this is what you should do if someone is coming at you racially, if you feel intimidated. I don't have to tell you what's appropriate for HR, but I've never worked at a company where there's so many HR claims. I mean, my goodness, it seems like ESPN's got its hands full all the time.
Well, ESPN came out with a statement saying that this woman, Adrienne Lawrence, was part of this group where they were trying to, I guess, groom reporters, and there were 100 different people that were of her kind.
Not to be confused with Amy Lawrence, who wouldn't come on the show because of John's backstabbing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I wouldn't either. I mean, how dare you get, you know, betrayed by someone that was at your wedding?
Yeah.
I mean, there's
Amy Lawrence who does overnights. This is not Amy Lawrence who does overnights, whose only complaint is that John has sat idly by while Rich and I critique her show.
and let it happen.
Yep.
So ESPN released the following statement.
I didn't walk out of the room.
You backstabbing knave. So we conducted a thorough investigation of the claims.
Doris says, gentlemen, take no heed.
Said, Adrienne Lawrence surfed to ESPN. They're entirely without merit. Ms. Lawrence was hired into a two-year talent development program and was told her contract would not be renewed at the conclusion of the training program. At the same time, ESPN also told 100 other talent with substantially more experience that their contracts would not be renewed. The company will vigorously defend its position, and we are confident we will prevail in court. So they're just saying, hey, you can complain about being fired, but it had nothing to do with any of the stuff you're talking about. It had to do with the fact that there's a lot of people better than you we had to fire as well. You're just one of them.
But it's a good idea to go for short money and to sue ESPN, hoping that they'll settle, and then whoopsies, they're not going to settle with you, and now it's public, and good luck. You know, if because the idea, I would suppose, is to sue ESPN and have none of this get out. Like, they want to just sweep it under the rug.
And then they pay you.
And they pay you, and then you move on. I mean, you're not going to make life-changing money, but, you know, you get a nice little pay, and then you go about your business. But then when ESPN turns around and says, oh, guess what, we're going to pursue this.
And during this lawsuit, she's probably thinking, this Adrian Lawrence is probably thinking, well, here's Jemele Hill, someone who already has an axe to grind with ESPN, so I'm sure she's going to have no problem me including this little thing in my lawsuit. And then all of a sudden Jemele Hill goes, no,
yeah,
ESPN was great to me when I had to do this complaint.
Jemele Hill's like, why? And first of all, why would you think she would do that? She's got her plates full already. I mean, Jemele Hill, like, she's going to take on your battle? I mean, come on. Let's be honest. That's not going to happen. All right, Rich. Well, we have a big contest. We have a ton of stuff to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a big contest that we're having that involves someone that some people like. And so we will announce the contest and how to get involved. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines.